podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the first tour report of 2023. We're back. I'm Diane Knox-Bayliss and I'm joined by Steve Elkington. Happy New Year, Elk.
Happy New Year to you, Diane. I suppose it's fitting to say that not only is this a new year, but you are now a mother. You have a child to take care of now starting in 2023. We're all very excited for you about that. And I know little Grayson is somewhere in the background there. I hope he doesn't cry on our show, or maybe he will, and that'll be okay as well.
We have, he's been looked after. Actually, my husband's off work today, so it worked out quite well that he was going to watch him today. But I know it's crazy. He's actually 2 months old today, and it's been the best 2 months of my whole entire life. I feel like a completely different person, and I know that you can relate to that, and anyone else that's had kids, you kind of think, like, what was your life beforehand? A lot of it is probably sleep deprivation and me thinking, wow, I wish I'd napped a lot more or had a few more early nights pre-baby. But oh my gosh, it's he's amazing. I'll put up a little picture of him, but he's the greatest in the world. It's incredible.
Yeah, I've enjoyed seeing the pictures since he's been born. He's a beautiful, chubby little fella that's got lots of smiles already, 2 months old. Yeah. Chubby in the nicest way, of course. We love chubby babies. We want that.
Well, he wasn't chubby to start with because he was 3 weeks early. So he was 6 pounds, 8 ounces when he was born. And then he dropped down to 6 pounds, 2 ounces. But he definitely loves his mama's milk now. And he's got these chubby little chunky legs and chubby cheeks. And we're going back to the pediatrician at the end of the week. So we'll get the official weigh-in and see where he's at now. But oh my gosh, I'm biased, but he's so cute. And now that he's smiling, it's like you're starting to see a little bit of his personality coming through. And everyone keeps telling me the best tip, and they keep saying it only gets better. Like, you think you're going to miss the newborn stage, and then it just, every milestone, it just gets better. So I am, as you can tell, I love being a mum.
You're glowing with the motherness.
Yes, I love it. Anyway, right, well, we're back to talk golf. I'm ready to talk golf instead of, you know, breastfeeding and diapers and feeding schedules and lack of sleep. So now I can throw myself back into the PGA Tour season. And of course, the year always starts with the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua in Hawaii. Back-to-back weeks in Hawaii to begin the year, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, this is probably one event that, there's 40 players playing this week, Diane. The only one that's not playing is Rory McIlroy, which, historically speaking, there's always been a few big stars like Tiger or Phil or Rory that take a little bit extra time off when they're, you know, over the season. But, yeah, this is – could you imagine flying out to Hawaii, you know, maybe after you've opened your Christmas presents on the 26th, 27th? We're going to stay there at the Ritz-Carlton right on the beach. We're going to relax a little bit with our family. I remember my family flew over from Australia. We had a villa right on the coast, kids running around. It was just the best time of the year in the world. There's no cut this week. It's an elevated event, 15 million. The field is stacked, Diane. And I think, well, this tournament always produces a certain type of player. Of course, last year we saw John Rahm and Cam Smith duke it out all the way up to like 35 under. Yeah. So I've got a few ideas for this week of what's going to happen. I'm sure you do too.
Well, you know, you mentioned that it's one of these elevated events, and we knew that that was going to be a new thing for this year. So the purse up from 8.2 million to 15 million. And traditionally, the Tournament of Champions has been just that. It's been guys that have won a PGA Tour event in the previous year, but they've kind of changed it a little bit this year and added in some extra guys who finished in the top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings. So there's a few extra names that have been added in, guys that have played this event before. We've got a few guys that have never won on the PGA Tour and have never played this course. So we're going to dive into the field. We've kind of split the field up into different categories looking at it this year. But yeah, as you say, last year it was a runaway. You know, it wasn't just Cam Smith and John Rahm, but, you know, Matt Jones was up there, who's not playing this year because he's off to live. Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele. It's last year was just insane scoring around here.
Yeah, and I've looked at the forecast. It's going to be in the 80s, which is typical for Hawaii, but the wind is going to blow pretty strongly, Diane, out of the pretty much the normal direction. We always see these players going for the green on 18. It's like 640-yard par 5. The wind is always off the right and down. It's going to teeter between being down off the right, maybe a little in, or maybe a little down, back and forth all week, somewhere between 25 and almost 40 miles an hour as the week goes along. So a fair bit of experience will be needed to play Kapalua. We have broken the field down into about three different categories. As you mentioned there, normally this tournament is for winners only, but the tour has added the top 30 guys that weren't already in it, guys like Adam Scott, Brian Harman, Scott Stallings, who had a little bit of a hiccup with the Masters this morning. We can talk about that. Colin Morikawa, who didn't win last year. Victor Hovland plays very well on these islands. Sungjae Im, the number one ball striker on the tour last year, got in. Corey Connors from Canada and Aaron Wise. So those eight guys must be feeling pretty good.
I think it's 10.
As you said, is it?
Yeah.
I've got eight on my sheet, guys. Oh, and then there's two more, Cam Young and Sahith Theegala.
Yeah.
Those two are the ones that haven't actually played this course. So,
yeah. So 10 of them added in, obviously. And as you say, Cam Young and Sahith, it's their first time playing the course. Let's talk about the course first and cover that. And then we're going to dive into the field. We'll look at these different categories of players that we've kind of whittled it down to. And then we'll make our picks with our odds, obviously. But this is one of the longest courses on the PGA Tour, 7,596 yards, really wide, undulating fairway. We see a lot of downhill fairways, which just makes that ball run out even further. Big kind of tabletop greens. But being on the coastline in Maui, you mentioned the weather. The wind plays a significant role. And when we see the disparity in scoring over the years, it really comes down to what the weather was doing that week.
Yeah, or which way the wind decides to blow that particular week. Of course, the course was designed by Ben Crenshaw. The Kapalua Bay Hotel sits right down in this beautiful bay. There's snorkeling right around the hotel. I think it's the Ritz-Carlton, could be the Four Seasons, one or the other. But up behind it there's a big mountainside where they used to grow bananas or sugarcane up on the hill there, Diane, and the course winds up and down these hills. You're absolutely exhausted by the time you finish playing because it's so steep in places. Of course, nothing for these young guys. But all about Bermuda grass greens, Diane, you know, for people that don't realize, we talk about Poano when they're on the East Coast and the West Coast, what suits players. But this week, this course really suits guys that grow up on Bermuda grass. Of course, Bermuda grass, where it leans over and there's a lot of grain, takes a lot of experience. I think this course is the easiest one to handicap, Diane, because it takes a fair amount of experience. We know the scoring is going to be low. Very difficult for guys that have never played the course to score well because of the Bermuda grass. How much does the ball roll out? What is the breaks on some of these greens? I mean, we remember putts, Diane. We know which ones break more because of grain and which ones don't. So very difficult for a first timer to go to Kapalua, handling the wind. Have they been playing golf over the Christmas break? Guys like Cam Young, who played tremendous last year without a wind, lives up in the Northeast. Will he be able to come over into the warm weather and play well after having no practice on Bermuda grass? You look at guys like Justin Thomas, who live in Florida, where it's already windy with Bermuda grass. That's a huge advantage. You look at guys from Australia. I'm looking at one here, Adam Scott, who's been in Australia all this time since he played there in November, lives on a golf course very similar to this. He'll be ready. Mm-hmm. We've seen a bunch of Australians win this tournament. Stuart Appleby about three times. I think Adam Scott plays good here. Anyway, all about the turf. And I think this field gets squashed very, very small after you go into a deep study, Diana, who actually can win this event.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And we have a few different ideas this week, which is good, because then we'll give a variety of opinion. You've won this tournament twice before, albeit not at this course. But we just have to state that, you know, Tournament of Champions to start the year, it's a big one. And you won it in what, 92 and 95, was it?
Yeah, that was over at La Costa in California. Great, great venue. And the thing I remember most about playing in the Tournament of Champions back then, Diane, was they added the Champions Tour players to the event. So they also were playing their Tournament of Champions. So when we went out there to play, Lee Trevino was on the driving range with Jack Nicklaus. All these guys were like, this is the greatest thing in the world. They went off first and we went in there behind them and followed them up. There's a story there about Pat Perez. When Pat Perez was a junior golfer, he was only about 13 years old. Him and his caddy, Michael Hartford, followed me around. Mm. I gave him gloves and balls and shoes and hats. That's where they grew up. So La Costa, you know, has a lot of memories for me. But particularly, I remember the one thing about with the Champions Tour players. On the 1992, my wife and I were about going to be married in April. And Lisa was a school teacher, and I was in the lead, and I was playing against Bruce Litsky, who's passed away now. And at the ninth hole, I think I was just had a one-shot lead, and Lisa had to take off to the airport. It was a Sunday afternoon. She was going back to teach school the next day. She went to the airport, watching the golf on the TV all afternoon while she was waiting for a flight, decided that it was too close. She threw caution to the wind, jumped back in a taxi, Diane, came back to the golf course, got there just in time for me to be winning a playoff, and she walked into the press room just after I won in 1992. So she said, you know what, I'm not going back to school tomorrow. I'm going to come back and watch this tournament.
And did you not know? So when you saw her walk into the media center afterwards, you must have been like, oh my gosh.
Aww. Yeah, and we got in the car together. This is the tour years ago. We got in the car together and drove over the hill to Palm Springs, and we were staying with a family over there that we've known for years. And we got to their house after the press conference and all the stuff we had to do. Got to their house. It was about 9:30 or 10, and we go in, and it was pitch black. There was like, must be everyone's in bed or no one's there. I can't believe they're not there. And when we opened the door, the lights came on, and they had the whole neighborhood there waiting for us. So we had a party. It was great.
Good memories. Oh, that's great. Right. Well, just talking about the course quickly, you know, obviously I mentioned that it plays as one of the longest on tour. It plays as one of the easiest. And we talk about those wide fairways. You look at the length, and because a lot of the holes are downhill, you know, the last hole, it's just shy of like, 700 yards. But most of the guys reach the green in two because it plays so downhill. A quarter of the field have shot 20 under or better over the last 2 years. So Cam Smith winning last year at 34 under par. John Rahm was right behind him at 33 under par. So, you know, we could be seeing something similar to that happening this year. Golf is back, which is great. I saw that I think for the next 34 Sundays, we're going to have golf. Actually, that's not true, because the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines ends on a Saturday again this year. So for the next 34 weekends, we're going to have golf, put it that way. Right, let's look at the field, because we've spent a lot of time breaking down the field into various categories. 39 players, Rory McIlroy, the only one who is eligible to play, who's not making that trip to Hawaii. But because we have all the past winners, and then we have an extra 10 guys who have been added in because they finished in the top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings. So, Elk, where do you want to start? What category do you want to look at first?
Well, when I asked you to look at this today, I said to you, normally we're very, very stats orientated, and we will get into some stats in this tournament, but it's not as important to me as this particular week. As you noted there, we have 39 players playing this event. The first category I asked you to look up for me was who's playing here for the first time ever? And I think we've got, how many of those have we got?
So, well, first up, we've got guys who won last year who haven't played here before. So Tom Kim, Tom Hoagie, Matt Fitzpatrick, Will Zalatoris, Ryan Brehm, Luke List, Trey Mullinax, Chad Ramey, JJ Spawn, Sepp Straka and Adam Svensson. So they all got that win under their belt to earn their place in the Tournament of Champions. But then we have guys who didn't win last year who have never played here before. Two of them, Cam Young and Sahith Theegala, which, you know, those are two guys who had a phenomenal season. They were both there, thereabouts many times. Cam Young in particular, who recorded, I can't even remember off the top of my head, like what, 5 runner-up finishes or something crazy. So two guys who were playing really great and obviously earned their place in by finishing within the top 30, making it to the Tour Championship. But you think the guys that haven't played this course before, they're just at such a disadvantage?
Yeah, I told you, and I think it's true, that I don't, and I'm going to tell you the reason why I don't think anyone that hasn't played this tournament has a chance to actually win it. And I'll give you my reasoning, and we'll get to that in a minute. And then we have some guys that just got into this tournament because they weren't in the top. They got in the top 30, and I think there's about, how many of those? About 8 of those that they have played here before, but there's no one that's won out of that group on this course before.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we have to look at sort of what we call the Big Ten. And these are guys that have won before, they played this tournament for more than 5 years, or they've always finished in the top 5. And the reason I'm talking to you about this, Diane, is I don't think anyone that hasn't won, that hasn't been here, has a chance to win this tournament. And the reason is I'm looking at 8 to 9 players here that played here very often over the last 5 years that have either won the tournament, 3 of them have won it, Spieth, JT, and Xander Schauffele. But the other guys in my sort of big six, whether it's Cantlay, Hideki, Rahm, you know, Scheffler, Scheffler's only been here once. Mm-hmm. Who can beat that group of players? I believe, Diane, out of this 8 or 9 guys, they're going to get 25 under. They're so experienced at this golf course. This is one of the few weeks on tour where I feel like it's really easy to handicap. Okay. One reason is there's only 40 guys. Yeah. There's only 40 guys playing this week. But there's 8 of them that are super experienced, more than anyone else in the field on this course, and they've proven it by playing very well.
Yeah.
So Can a guy just jump in and beat and win this tournament from way back? I don't think so. I think it makes it easy for me to handicap it because I think the winner will come out of these 8 or 10 guys that play so well on this course.
Okay.
When I start to think about a guy like John Rahm, who was 33 under, plays very well here, has finished 2nd twice. Justin Thomas has won here twice. Jordan Spieth's won here. Cantlay's finished 2nd twice. You know, all these guys, they're all going to keep going. They know exactly where the wind's going to do. They know where to aim their tee shots. They're very comfortable on a couple of these tight holes. They know how to get way under par and keep it there. Can someone jump over the top of all these 6 or 7? No, not going to happen this week.
Well, you mentioned the past winners of Justin Thomas, who's won this twice before, Xander Schauffele and Jordan Spieth. And then when we were looking at the guys that have played this tournament on this course each year for the last 5 years, there's only 3, John Rahm, Justin Thomas and Xander Schauffele. So immediately, you know, those guys that we're talking about are going to jump up to the top of our list. But I'm being a little bit more, I'm branching out a little bit further. And I've got a couple of guys that I'm looking at this week who don't have mad experience on this course. One guy's played it once before, one guy's never played it before, so I know that we're going to have a little back and forth over this. I've got one guy that I'm looking at who didn't win last year, who has played this tournament twice before, who I think is going to be a serious contender this year. And it's great that he's almost been given not a free pass in, but because he didn't win last year and he's got in through this top 30 in the FedEx standings, I think he's going to be a really interesting name to watch. So, I'm excited to go through the picks. Then, you know, this is one guy, and I have a feeling that you might pick him, so I don't want to ruin it too much. But someone like Adam Scott, who didn't win last year, but this is going to be the 8th time that he's played this tournament, you know, so obviously he knows the course very well. And we have someone like, you know, Colin Morikawa. This is his 4th time playing. Didn't win last year. So it's definitely a more interesting field this year. And I really hope that one of these guys who doesn't have a lot of experience can shoot up that leaderboard and go low.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that I think that I'm so focused on these eight guys, Diane, is it takes superior putting to get to 30 under, 25 under. And how do you do that? How do you, you know, this is almost like a college tournament. We have about eight first-team All-Americans playing in this tournament, and the rest of the guys playing are freshmen. They've never seen this course. So we've got all the guns, and they know how to play it, and the other guys are learning on the fly. And I said to you, and this is where this course becomes particularly sort of hard to score on it in places where you don't know exactly where the grain is. And when the grain on Bermuda grass greens affects the amount of break that the ball will take, and this is where you learn all the experience from on this course. And, you know, we saw the greatest putter of the year by a mile, Cam Smith, last year, like literally just, you know, took it to John Rahm's confidence almost. Rahm only finished a stroke back, but it was just ridiculous how good Cam Smith putts. And you mentioned Adam Scott, who has been in Australia for quite a long time, will be practicing on the course exactly like this. I picked Cam Smith to win the Hawaiian Open a few years ago because he lives in Brisbane and they're in the Southern Hemisphere and the weather's identical to this is right now. So
Matt Jones, last year, Matt Jones shot the course record.
Yeah, Jonesy. They just know how to putt on. Look, I won almost all my tournaments, Diane, on Bermuda grass because I'm here in Texas. I know what it's like to putt on grainy greens, and it's a big difference. So yeah. Why don't we get right into it? You want to talk about who you think is going to win this tournament?
Yeah. Well, my outright to win is not going to come as a huge surprise. And when you look back at winners over the last, like, however many years, 10 years, let me give you some of them. You know, Cam Smith, Harris English, who was 33-1 and the highest on the odds board out of all of these guys that I'm going to mention. But we're talking about the big guns here, obviously. You know, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Dustin Johnson, JT again, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Zach Johnson, Dustin Johnson again. So we know, as you say, low scoring, although, you know, the weather's going to have a big impact on that, and we know that it's going to be super windy this week. So that's going to play into the experience thing.
And you mentioned, Diane, that the fairways are wide and they're big. Mm-hmm. And the reason they were designed that way is because it gets very windy. So it's a real advantage for those guys that really can smash it off the tee, like some of the names you just mentioned there, Dustin Johnson. I remember Cam Smith last year hitting it past John Rahm, which was, to me, was the first time I'd ever really knew how much length that Cam Smith had. However, John Rahm, you carry on there. I was just getting carried away there with
that. You know, that when you just said that there, I just thought of a guy that we haven't really mentioned, is Scottie Scheffler. Yeah. Who could reclaim the only spot this week as well?
Yeah, well, Scheffler, you know, there's sort of six names that I'm looking at on this list. That I think are the favorites in my mind. I don't care what the stats say because Hawaii is a whole different animal, but Cantlay, Hideki Matsuyama barely creeps into my top six because I don't think he can putt good enough to sustain 30 under. Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, and John Rahm. The only other three guys I've got looking at my field that I think could beat all six of those guys for real would be Scottie Scheffler, Sam Burns, Colin Morikawa, Sungjae Im, and Victor Hovland. Victor Hovland plays really good on these sort of island courses where it's windy. Hasn't played well here. I don't think he's cracked the top 30. However, in sheer talent, somebody's got to knock out these top six guys, and I've just mentioned four of them that I think have a shot at that.
Okay, well, I'm going to get one of them out of the way at the very start, and he's my outright favourite at 12-1. And I'm going to go with Justin Thomas. And I know that it's completely predictable. He's won twice here before. He's definitely, I think he's the third favourite on the odds board this week. So, yeah, I'm not the only one looking at him. But we know that Justin Thomas loves it here. Obviously has had great success. He knows the course very well. I think this is his eighth time playing this tournament here. So has got that experience to a T, pardon the pun. I'm adding in one more thing about Justin Thomas in that he just got married. So, you know, me and these intangibles, as we call them, these extra things that have been going on during the off-season. We saw him play in the match alongside Jordan Spieth. He was against Tiger and Rory, and JT and Spieth beat them in the match, which was fun to watch. But yeah, I'm just going to pick Justin Thomas as my outright favourite this week. There's, you know, that's it. I've detailed the reasons and it's plain.
The only reason I'm letting you pick first is because you just had a baby, because I would have picked JT if I had.
No, I know. I know who you're picking. There's definitely, I can predict who else it's going to be.
I know you can. When I think of Cantlay and I think of Rahm, I think of the two players that are just so steady. Mm-hmm. Rahm won this. I watched him on TV win that Spanish Open. Plays that power fade, and he's very aggressive. I think if John Rahm walked into a room of all the great athletes, you know, whether it's Muhammad Ali or whoever it is, I still think he thinks he's the best person in the room. I think that's the kind of guy he is. And right now on this tour, if anybody's paired with John Rahm tied on a Sunday, I'll always put money on John Rahm. I think that he has something inside of him very special that makes him win. And that's who I'm going to pick this week. Not because Cam Smith's not there this year, but just John Rahm will be ready. He's that kind of guy. He's got two young kids, not distracted. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, by the way, his Alabama Crimson Tide are out of the final game in the football, so he won't be distracted. So it's another winning thing for him.
Okay.
But I'm gonna pick coin flip between Cantlay and Rahm, because I think both of them are going to play well, but I'm looking at Rahm this week.
Okay, well, Rahm finished second last year, as we said, at 33 under par. Also finished second here in 2018. Cantlay, incidentally, finished fourth here last year and in 2020. So, I mean, we're throwing out these big name players who always play well here, and it's hard to see past them. So, outright favourites.
I'll tell you one thing about this course, Diane.
Yeah.
That you cannot take for. That you have to understand when you think about tour players that have played well on different courses. We remember the putts. I think I already said this on the show. 33 under last year. Rahm's going to have the prettiest picture inside of his head, as Justin Thomas will as well. Yeah. But they know what that putt is going to do on the very first hole from experience from before. And it's so important. And that's what gets you more and more under. And it's more frustrating for the younger guys.
Okay, so I'm going with Rory. No, it's not Rory, sorry. So I'm going with Justin Thomas at 12 to 1.
You would go with Rory if he was here.
I know. I would. And John Rahm, what odds are you seeing for Rahm?
I've got Rahm at 6.5 to 1.
Yeah, that's...
Not great odds.
He's definitely the tournament favourite. Scottie Scheffler next up at 10 to 1 and then JT at 12 to 1. But that's fine. That's all right. We're not really going to do a dark horse. Normally on the show, we do outright favourite, one to watch, dark horse. And the dark horse has to be over 100 to 1. But we're not really going to do that this week because the dark horse feels like you're flushing money down the toilet a little bit. So we're just going to give you our outright favourite, which we've each done at the low odds. Then we'll look at some guys that are one to watch in the middle, and then someone that's just a little bit higher than that too. So, for example, my highest odds guy is going to be 45 to 1 this week. Right, so then out with our outright favourites, kind of moving down the board a little bit. I've got two names that I'm going to throw out there. One of them I know we're going to have a back and forth on, so I will build the suspense and leave him till second. But I'm going to go with Sung J.M. He's 22 to 1. He's played this tournament twice before and finished tied for 8th and tied for 5th. So obviously great experience, good track record around here. And then you said something earlier in the show that just cemented it for me. When you look back at all the stats from last year, he had the best set of stats, the most solid ball striking. And long may that continue. I've got one other thing that I'm throwing into the mix. You're going to be like, here we go. He just got married.
Sung J-Hin.
Mm-hmm. So that's Justin Thomas, new marriage, and Sungjae in the off-season. So tick, tick. and I'm going with him. I thought 22 to 1, those odds were pretty good for him.
Sungjae Im, as you know how much I like him. Mm-hmm. Again, it all goes about the putting this week, because we know that out of that big six or eight guys that I talked about there earlier, someone's going to be four, five, six under each day. It's like beating not one guy. You got to beat like six of those guys. Can you beat Spieth, Jordan, Justin Thomas, all these guys in a row? Sungjae is one of the guys that hits it good enough to do it. Yes. My pick that I'm going to pick, I'm going to go against everything I just said again. I'm picking a guy that doesn't even putt that good, but I'm Australian and I've got to take an Australian. There's only one in the field. And by the way, Adam Scott almost won the Australian Open, hit a terrible shot on the 71st hole at the Victorian Golf Club. The reason I was watching that so closely was I was just in Australia playing with my son and a bunch of guys. We played the Victorian course just before the Open. The course is magnificent. I've never seen a golf course in better condition than Victoria Golf Club in Australia when I was there. It was just absolutely unreal. And Adam Scott, that is, finished up not winning the Australian Open. But guess who's caddying for him now? One and only Stevie Williams is coming back out to caddy for Adam Scott.
Yes.
I'm thinking, Diane, that Adam Scott with Stevie Williams, after being in Hawaii-like conditions for the last 100 days, is going to be worth a bit of a punt on Adam Scott. Can you give me his I think he's sick anywhere between 40 to 60 to 1 we've seen on a board.
I was going to say, I'm looking at the live odds and he shot up to, let me just refresh this so I can get them. I know that when the show's out, obviously, it's going to be a little bit different. But going back to Stevie Williams, he's a Kiwi, isn't he? Is he from New Zealand?
He is.
Yeah. And he, I remember at one point, he was the highest earning athlete or person that worked in sport of all time, because of obviously everything he achieved with Tiger. Adam Scott is 50 to 1. That's the highest he's at right now. So maybe a few other people are jumping on your bandwagon.
I'm looking at Adam Scott to play well this week. I mean, the weather suits him. He lives in Queensland, which is exactly the same turf as Kapalua. So he'll be ready as far as at least up here. He's played this tournament, I think, more than anyone in the field. He's played it eight other times.
Tournament. Him and Justin Thomas.
It'll be a piece of cake between the ears for him this week at least.
And how great for Adam Scott, because we were really on him in the build-up to the Tour Championship last year, and he played so well in the playoffs to get his spot. And for him, you know, finishing in that top 30 is so important. And then they added in this new category that would get him into this tournament. So fantastic for him, and I like it.
I read an article in Australia when I was there that he said that he was very happy staying on the PGA Tour, and he wants to win the Grand Slam. Of course, he's won the Masters. And he said, I only have to play good in three more events, and it was a nice way to think about majors. His game is probably suited more for majors because of how straight he hits it and so on. But I thought it was very interesting to think how simply he made that. And now he's got Stevie Williams helping him in the bigger events.
I'm going against everything that you've talked about on the show, doubly, not just when it comes to the putting, but I'm going to go, my other guy that I'm looking at is also 22 to 1. He's never played this course before, and he falls into the category of guys who didn't win last year and have never played. But I'm going to go with Cam Young. And again, it's just one of those things that I'm like, I have to pick him. I was so big on him last year. He had a phenomenal season on the PGA Tour. We talk about all those runner-up finishes that he had, but I think the most prolific one being at St. Andrews behind Cam Smith for the Open Championship. But it's, Rookie of the Year. It's still crazy to think that he doesn't have a win under his belt, and it's not going to be far away. Everyone knows it. But big course. He's a huge hitter. And I just think that Cam Young's going to be thirsty. He's going to be really looking to start 2023 on a high, and the win obviously being the goal. So I'm taking him at 22 to 1, and you cannot convince me otherwise.
Cam Young, he's one of my favourite players, of course. Played so well at the Open Championship behind Cam Smith. He comes from up in the Northeast, and Diane, I've been looking at the weather in the Northeast. It'll be lucky if he even makes it to Hawaii. He might have had to leave 2 weeks ago and drive down to Florida and catch a flight across. But I don't think he could be possibly ready as someone like Justin Thomas, who lives in Florida in the wind and the grainy greens, and he's from Poana and hilly and fast greens. But I like your style. I've got a guy who's my dark horse, who also has never been to this course either.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Is... Well, did he win last
you
year?
You can't pick all the favorites all the time, but so Heath Thegala, who played his golf at Pepperdine on the West Coast there, and he just won the Shark Shootout with his partner a couple of weeks ago. So tremendously long player. He'll be able to air it out. You know, he loves it. We saw him mess up two tournaments last year where he should have won. He should have won in Phoenix, the one that got Scottie Scheffler going towards number one, and he drove it in the fairway bunker on the last hole at Hartford, which is the most ridiculous shot I've ever seen tried by a pro to try to go for the green from dead under the lip and finish up losing that tournament. But Heath is a massive talent, hits the power fade, a little bit like John Rahm in that regard. Can he putt well enough? Probably not to beat the big six or big eight that I'm calling it this week. However, what is his odds? Could you give him to me? He's about 60 to 1 or 65 to 1.
60 to 1, we're seeing him at anywhere between the 35 and 60 to 1. So,
yeah, just on sheer power and sheer strong legs, he's probably the youngest in the field walking these hills. I'm backing him in that category.
California guy as well, and good attitude. You talk about that shot at the Travelers, you know, he obviously it hurt him, but he brushed it off very well. And just as you say, he's young, he knew that he was going to bounce back and he wasn't going to let like a bad moment define the rest of his year. So, and then what a brilliant way to end by winning the Shark Shootout. So go Saheeth, we're big fans. And as we said, good odds for him. The guy that I'm looking at that's higher odds is 45 to 1. And he has played this tournament once before, and he actually finished in a tie for 15th. So pretty good for Seamus Power. The reason that I'm picking him, well, we know that he can play, had a great end to the season. He won in Bermuda. We're talking tropical island golf with a lot of wind. So he's done well in those conditions twice. He's Irish, so he grew up playing in the wind. Okay, nothing like the conditions that he sees in Maui. Bermuda's a little bit closer to that.
He's never played in Ireland in 80-degree weather. He's played in wind, of course. No. But the field that he beat in Bermuda twice is not the same field that he's going to be playing against this week, Diane. All the guns are out this week. Yeah. And as I sort of recap this show this week, you know, when I think about Kapalua, very hilly course, very windy, it's going to be very low scoring. The guys who have been there before have such an advantage. The young guys that are, you know, that are going there for the first time, big disadvantage, don't know the breaks and the greens, don't know how to play some of these holes into the severe winds when they're coming back into the wind. Downwind, no problem, back into it. How many club wind is an 8-iron from 150 yards? Is it a 6, a little 5, punch shots? Where do I start? All that's going to come into play, and that's going to make it very difficult for the rookies and the guys that haven't played there much. So
I've got one more thing to come back. Just maybe I'm just the biggest defender of Seamus Power this week. Talking about the strength of field, he finished T9 at the PGA Championship last year, and then in a tie for 12th at the US Open. So he's played well against the big guns before. He just had a great end of the year. Take that confidence.
I suppose the comeback to the comeback would be then you should have picked him as your outright favorite, not your dark horse.
Touché. But, I mean, I'll run through my picks again. Justin Thomas at 12 to 1, Cam Young and Sungjae Im at 22 to 1, and then Seamus Power at 45 to 1. You're taking John Rahm, who's the tournament.
John Rahm at 6.5 to 1. I've got Adam Scott at somewhere between 50 to 1 to watch out for, and then Saheeth Thegala at about the same odds. The only other one I'm watching there who's the best putter, who, if you looked at the stats on this board, you'd be so confused because of this week's stats from last year's tour event, from the tour combined, would be JT Poston, who lives in the South and grew up on Bermuda grass greens. He's played in this tournament once before without much success. He's like 150th ranked putter. And this is so bizarre when you look at stats. You can't look at stats all the time, as you know. But everyone knows JT Poston is one of the greatest putters we have out on tour. Don't know exactly how he became 150th, but he's another one to watch.
He also just got married too.
See? Do you have any babies to report other than yours? Is there any new babies out there? That
Max,
I know Homer, you have the baby report.
Max Homer, wife had, I knew that they were due around about the same time as us, and I think she had her baby just a couple of days before us. And he's played here twice before, didn't have great results, so typically not a tournament for him from his short time being here. Mackenzie Hughes, another one, just had another baby. There you go. Mackenzie Hughes,
I know you mentioned this name early in the show, but it's nice to see Will Zalatoris coming back. I almost picked him as one to watch, but I don't know. You know, he's had this back injury. I don't know if he could have been practicing or not, and is this going to be the sort of the test out week? Remember, a couple of years ago, we had John Rahm on our board, but we didn't pick him because he was testing out some new Callaway equipment, and he finished up later that summer winning the U.S. Open at Torrey. So we don't know everything about Will Zalatoris, but we'll find out.
Yeah, and one other guy that I want to mention, just because it's a story that broke today, Scott Stallings is 100-1. And Scott Stallings had qualified for the Masters. And you know what it's like at the end of the year. You see guys putting up pictures of their official Masters invitation. Well, poor Scott Stallings has been checking his mailbox. And he's like, where is it? Then he went on his Instagram, checked his DMs, and someone else who goes by the name of Scott Stallings, who lives in Georgia and also has a wife who goes by Jennifer, same as Scott Stallings, the official Scott Stallings wife, he received the Masters invitation to his apartment. So, I mean, funny story in that we're all like, oh my gosh. And for me, you know, waking up on Monday morning, my first day kind of back in the golf game, I'm like, this is just great. Everyone has found it pretty cool and comical. Apart from, I'm going to guess, the Masters and Augusta National, somebody is going to be in a lot of trouble for sending that invitation to the complete wrong address.
Yeah, that's very strange for them. But let's hope that Scott brings the other Scott and Jennifer to the Masters, maybe to watch him play. That might be a story that we'll hear more about as it goes along.
Surely he's going to give them tickets.
Could you imagine just getting an invite in the mail if you were just sort of a non-golf person or you played golf, that you've been invited to the Masters, to attend the Masters?
But you know what else is even worse? Can you imagine if, so luckily this Scott Stallings is a golfer, loves to play and is very aware of who golfer Scott Stallings is. Can you imagine if Scott Stallings knew nothing about golf? And was like, what is this? And threw it away. And I mean, obviously, the official Scott Stallings is still going to get his invitation somehow. But can you imagine if he had no idea what was going on and what this invitation meant?
Or if the Scott Stallings that is not the real one just didn't say a word and drove down Magnolia Lane with his invitation and flashed it to the Bobby Cop as he was coming in, he'd be certainly allowed in. So a lot of drama was saved today with that little DM.
Yeah, it's not just the invitation. I think they get a lot of extra information about playing in the Masters. Well, you know, obviously. So this guy probably is, he's privy to a lot of information that he probably shouldn't be now.
It's not that important. It's just like, you know, this is when you're allowed to come. This is where you get your tickets. This is what you do. It's not groundbreaking.
Okay then. Right, well, that was our first tour report of 2023. It's so good to be back. Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. And we were saying we have 2 weeks in Hawaii with the Sony Open next week. And the Sony Open is great. You know, I love this event. And last year we saw Cam Smith go insanely low. But I look forward to next week when we have the full PGA Tour field back. And it kind of opens it up a little bit for us making our picks. But we will be back.
Get all the rookies and everyone next week. Remember, the most exciting week of the PGA Tour is the Hawaiian Open, when all the rookies get to step out on the first tee for the first time. probably last year, Diane, probably my favorite shot of the whole PGA Tour for the season happened at Hawaii last year when Hideki hit that 3-wood from about 270 on the playoff hole to a foot to win with an eagle. That and maybe the up and down that Cam Smith made on the 71st hole of the Open Championship.
Okay, good. Right, well, we have a whole year to talk about all of these shots. We're going to see many more special ones unfold. Thank you for watching and for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.